Hello and welcome to episode 804 of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast. It is my pleasure to be with you this morning. My name is Terrence M. Stanton. We are recording on Thursday, February 15th, 2024, in the year of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us begin with the great saint and doctor of the church, Alphonsus Liguori's Thursday prayer to the Most Blessed Virgin Mary to obtain heaven. O Queen of Paradise, who reignest above all the choirs of angels, and who art the nearest of all creatures to God, I, a miserable sinner, salute thee from this valley of tears, and beseech thee to turn thy compassionate eyes towards me, for whichever side they turn, they dispense graces. See, O Mary, in how many dangers I now am, and shall be as long as I live in this world, of losing my soul, of losing heaven and God. In thee, O Lady, I have placed all my hopes. I love thee, and sigh to go soon to see thee, and praise thee in heaven. Ah, Mary, when will be that happy day on which I shall see myself safe at thy feet and contemplate my mother, who has done so much for my salvation? When shall I kiss that hand which has delivered me so many times from hell and has dispensed me so many graces when, on account of my sins, I deserve to be hated and abandoned by all? My Lady, in life I have been very ungrateful to thee, but if I get to heaven, I shall no longer be ungrateful. There I shall love thee as much as I can in every moment for all eternity, and shall make amends for my ingratitude by blessing and thanking thee forever. I thank God with my whole heart, who gives me firm confidence in the blood of Jesus Christ and in thee, and the conviction that thou wilt save me, that thou wilt deliver me from my sins, that thou wilt give me light and strength to execute the divine will, and in fine, that thou wilt lead me to the gate of paradise. Thy servants have hoped for all this, and not one of them was deceived. No, neither shall I be deceived. O Mary, my full confidence is that thou hast to save me. Beseech thy son Jesus, as I also beseech him, by the merits of his passion, to preserve and always increase his confidence in me, and I shall be saved. Today, friends, we're going to take a look at the Meditation for Thursday in Meditations for Lent by St. Thomas Aquinas. The subheading here is Fasting. 1. We fast for three reasons. Number one, to check the desires of the flesh. So St. Paul says in Fastings in Chastity, 2 Corinthians 6:5, meaning that fasting is a safeguard for chastity. As St. Jerome says, without Ceres and Bacchus, Venus would freeze, as much as to say that lust loses its heat through spareness of food and drink. Number two, that the mind may more freely raise itself to contemplation of the heights. We read in the book of Daniel that it was after a fast of 3 weeks that he received the revelation from God. Daniel chapter 10, verses 2 through 4. Number 3, to make satisfaction for sin. This is the reason given by the prophet Joel. Be converted to me with all your heart, in fasting and in weeping and in mourning. Joel 2, verse 12. And here is what St. Augustine writes on the matter. Fasting purifies the soul. It lifts up the mind and it brings the body into subjection to the spirit. It makes the heart contrite and humble, scatters the clouds of desire, and puts out the flames of lust and enkindles the true light of chastity. 2. There is commandment laid on us to fast, for fasting helps to destroy sin and to raise the mind to thoughts of the spiritual world. Each man is then bound, by the natural law of the matter, to fast just as much as is necessary to help him in these matters, which is to say that fasting in general is a matter of natural law. To determine, however, when we shall fast and how, according to what suits and is of use to the Catholic body, is a matter of positive law. To state the positive law is the business of the bishops, and what is thus stated by them is called ecclesiastical fasting, in contradistinction with the natural fasting previously mentioned. 3. The times fixed for fasting by the church are well chosen. Fasting has two objects in view. Number one, the destruction of sin, and number two, the lifting of the mind to higher things. The times self-indicated for fasting are then those in which men are especially bound to free themselves from sin and to raise their minds to God in devotion. Such a time especially is that which precedes the solemnity of Easter, in which baptism is administered and sin thereby destroyed. and when the burial of our Lord is recalled, for we are buried together with Christ by baptism into death, Romans 6:4. Then too, at Easter most of all, men's minds should be lifted through devotion to the glory of that eternity which Christ in his resurrection inaugurated. Wherefore the Church has declared that immediately before the solemnity of Easter, we must fast, and for a similar reason, that we must fast on the eves of the principal feasts, setting apart those days as opportune to prepare ourselves for the devout celebration of the feasts themselves. So ends the meditation for Thursday. By God's grace, we are purifying ourselves, my friends. That's why cutting back on food or whatever else it is you're giving up for Lent, or extra prayers, extra penances you've decided to do. We're allowing our Lord to purify ourselves, allowing ourselves to know that we don't need to eat this much. We're giving it up as a sacrifice for our Lord and bringing our passions under control. You know, there's a connection between, let's say, like eating too much food or drinking too much alcohol and all, and you know, pleasures of the flesh. And pleasures of the flesh, of course, outside of marriage, that's unnatural, that's lust. That's a vice. So bringing those things into control, bringing those inclinations into being subject to our will, that's part of Lent. And we want to glorify the Lord in all things. Like Dr. Ralph Martin says, our desire should be to not offend the Lord in the slightest thing. And Our Lady says at Fatima, the Lord is already too much offended. Let's continue to love him. Let's continue to praise him. And let's continue to separate ourselves from anything in this world that will keep us from him, that offends him. We want to use all of our time, all of our talent, all of our treasure to glorify him, to honor our Lord Jesus Christ, and to honor Our Lady. There are so many distractions in this world if we allow ourselves to be distracted. Using the cell phone too much, watching too much television, eating too much food, obsessing too much about what's going on at the Vatican, what's going on in politics. You know, there could be all sorts of temptations to overdo things. Lent is about bringing things back into balance, to restore all things in Christ. I believe that was the motto of the papacy of Pope St. Pius X. We want to restore all things in Christ. We want every nation on earth to be subject to our Lord Jesus Christ. It might look like a complete disaster, what's going on in the world right now, but I'm reading a book by Father James Maudsley. It's part of his New Old series. I believe the title, I don't have it with me right now, I believe the title is Crushing Satan's Head. It's the second edition, the second in the series of five books. And he talks about the Lord allowing evil to persist. And, you know, the demons aren't going to suddenly give up on their own. They're going to continue to hate humanity and continue to do evil until the end of time. But our Lord allows evil to resist. Or excuse me, allows evil to exist and to persist so that he can draw a greater good from it. And we look to the crucifix. We look to our Lord Jesus Christ, his crucifixion, and we see the example par excellence of the Lord drawing, I should say, good out of the greatest evil. deicide, what could be more evil than that? Putting God to death. Drawing the greatest possible good from it, the opportunity for me, for you, for anyone who's ever walked this earth to be saved. So his ways are far above ours. Our Lord Jesus Christ is firmly in control. It's not any demon. It's not any politician. It's not any judge. It's not any military general. It's not anyone else on earth. It's not the Pope who's in charge of history. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord of history, and he's going to have his way in all things and definitively at the end of time. So we want to be with him. We want to be on the winning team, as it were. We want to be with God and all of his angels and saints and the Blessed Mother, our sweet, perfect queen at the head of the army. Our Lady of Fatima, pray for us. So this is a time during Lent for persistence. It's a time for prayer. It's a time to persevere and know that God is in charge. It's not any man or woman walking the earth right now. It's not the demons. The Lord allows evil to go on. But it's not going to last forever. So let's put all our hope, all our trust in our Lord Jesus Christ and the perfect intercession of Our Lady, Saint Joseph, and all of the angels and saints. Be of good cheer. I can't emphasize that enough. It's important to have a good mental attitude. Don't let anything get you down. I'll mention again, I forget the gentleman's name. He's a priest from the Society of St. Pius X. He said the five things that disturb your peace, we have to avoid them. Worry, anxiety, regret, fear, sadness. I'll say that again. Worry, anxiety, regret, fear, sadness. For the Christian, these are things that are going to disturb our peace, and we need to stay away from them. We need to be joyful. We need to have confidence in the Lord. Are we going to be sad sometimes? Of course, but we can't allow that to persist, because our ultimate joy, our ultimate hope is in the Lord. And we know that this isn't our home. We're only here for a short time. Even if you live to be 104 years old, my mom, her friend has an aunt who's 104. That's not even a drop in the ocean in terms of eternity. Our home is heaven. That's where we belong. That's where the Lord wants us. Let's live our lives that way. Let's hope in the Lord and trust in him at all times. I'm going to conclude, friends, by mentioning halo-soma.org. That's halo-soma.org. Helping autism through learning and outreach. Also, please tune into episodes 277 and 548 of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast for more information pertaining to RPM. That is an acronym for Rapid Prompting Method, a system of communication for non-speakers. Before my niece was about 8 years old, we didn't even know her favorite color. Now we know she's a comprehensive genius who composes music, poetry, very skilled in regards to mathematics. She even knows foreign languages. Would have known none of that without RPM. It's been as big of a breakthrough in terms of being able to communicate for non-speakers as sign language was for the deaf. You can also point to Braille in terms of being able to read for the blind. But you can't use a tool unless you know about it. So please get this information out there to the friends, the family members of non-speakers. And if you don't know any non-speakers, I can tell you I've had the privilege of associating with some of them who've broken through to open communication via RPM. And they're some of the most intelligent, kind, and compassionate folk you can ever meet. Communication is a human right. So please get that information out there and help us as much as you can. And we will greatly appreciate it. Please say an Ave Maria for yours truly. And I will talk to you again very soon. Thanks so much for listening. Goodbye, and God love you.